You're listening to IsraelScene.com. And you're listening to IsraelScene.com. Listening to IsraelScene.com.
Seen through the eyes of Steve, that's myself. And you're on. Two characters passionate about everything that happens in Israel.
IsraelScene.com.
IsraelScene.com.
Walking down the street in the Emek Rephaim neighborhood of Jerusalem, for years and years I've seen this, and most people who come this way see this long stone wall with two doors which are closed. I mean, they're practically never open. However, one day the doors were open, and I walked in, and I discovered that I was in a cemetery, which is quite obvious, and I met the man who is the caretaker of the cemetery, and he told me a little bit about what there is here.
This cemetery is from the beginning of the 19th century, and it's amazing who is buried here, and there's lots of story for each person in the cemetery.
And is there something that all of these people have in common?
Sometimes people come in, sometimes people not come in.
In common, is there something that all of these people, are they all Christians, are they all Jews, are they all Americans, are they all Israelis? What is there about the cemetery that's unique and different?
It's all of them messianic, but in both sides. In the side of Jewish and in the side of Gentile, all of them Zionists, believe Israel, and believe in the Messiah of Israel. He believe Yeshua, he is the Messiah of Israel. And he have really a vision for Israel, so he starts to come in the beginning of the 19th century to Israel. And this cemetery, it's a very unique cemetery. And here the people bury and waiting for the Messiah come back. And it's the story of all of them I pick up, and I'm learning about all of them, and I take care of the cemetery in the logistic and the guide and everything what's going on, I take care.
You might be able to hear in the background the sounds of the city. We are in the city. We are in the middle of the city. The wall that surrounds the cemetery is only about five or 6 feet tall, so the sound still comes in. If it was maybe 10 or 15 feet, we wouldn't hear so much of the city. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the people who are buried here? Are all of them, you say all of them are in common, they wanted to be buried in Jerusalem because they wanted to be here when the Messiah comes, so they'll be able to come up and be present.
Yes, there's many different group here. One of the group I want to mention is the group of the from American colony. This group came to the land of Israel, and he have a vision already in 1810, 1820, 1830. He have a vision. So he sent his mission to Israel, a group from U.S., America, and they begin to build hospital, a school and village nearby the Damascus Gate and Nablus Street. And he called this area the American colony. And many of them bury also here, but some of them not bury here. Some of them bury to another places in Mount Zion, in a different cemetery.
I wanted to mention that the American Colony Hotel still exists and is a very popular what they call watering hole, especially for foreign correspondents. And it's in East Jerusalem, so it's more connected to the Arab side of the city than to the Jewish side of the city. It's a very elegant hotel, by the way. If you have a few thousand extra dollars and you'd like to spend a night in an elegant surrounding, that the American Colony Hotel certainly is that. Who from the American Colony community is buried here?
One of them is Rolla Floyd. Rolla Floyd, he was the center of tourism in the 19th century, and he have a company, tourism in Jerusalem, and he was a travel between Jaffa in Jerusalem, and he wait in Jaffa to the tourist come with a boat in Jaffa airport. Jaffa Seaport. And he personally take the people and guide them in the country with the horses, with a camel, with a donkey. And he really, really, really have a big tourist company, and he was also contact with the company Thomas Cook.
I see by his stone that he was from Blue Hills, Maine, and he died in 1911.
Can we take a little walk here and see some of the other people? The American colony folks. Okay.
The people, when he begin to bury in the 19th century in Jerusalem, and also after him, there's also more different people, different mission from different church. And we go now to see some of them. Family Thompson and Dickens, family Philip Dickens, and also
from Massachusetts, by the way.
Yes. And there's around, and next to the wall, it's all of them lie down here. We have right 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Nine stones here. By the way, we'll have a photograph of this in our gallery. We're standing in front of a stone memorial, which was moved from, it was originally...
Yeah, it was original. This grave was original in the Mount of Zion.
On Mount Zion, and it was moved here. 100 years ago, and it says on the top, at rest, English Cemetery, Mount Zion. And the names are very hard to read. It's really been pretty, time has eroded a lot of the names.
But it's very clear, Roland Floyd, he was a part of this group. He came a little bit later after him. But the American colony, he was very successful, and it was also the people from the American colony suffering a lot because it was Christian Zionists, many of them, and the Muslim not liked the Turkish not liked this idea.
I wanted to mention, excuse me, at the time that they came, all of this area was part of the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire.
Yes.
And it was all known as Syria, actually. Syria and Lebanon was now Jordan, and Israel was all part of Syria. And this was the backwater of the backwater. And the facilities here were very few and far between. I believe it's some of the people from the American colony community who were the first photographers, for instance, in
yeah,
Jerusalem.
Photography and first maybe a different job doing in Israel and running a school, a different company in Israel to help in from outside and inside, a transport also between Israel and Asia in America.
One of the traditions on the part of the Europeans who came here from America or for Europe itself was to come as to help. The conditions of poverty were extreme, both for the Jews and the Arabs who lived here. So there were many groups who founded the American colony that they still have. They still operate an orphanage in East Jerusalem, and this orphanage has been operating for more than 100 years, before the State of Israel, before the British Mandate, during the time of the Turks. And who else do we have here with an interesting story?
Yeah, I think we can move now to the front of the cemetery. I'm going to show you a very, very interesting grave. Let's go in the front.
Okay, we'll go back to the front.
We focus first thing in the 19th century first, and it's very unique what's going on in the cemetery. We're going out to the area of children. I have here 22 children, and all these children, it was in the land of Israel, and all of them died because of sickness. The sickness came in the country, I figure out in 1924, it was a very, very strong sickness in the country, and the children, he cannot survive. So we see the grave of the children, and I know the name, I know the age, I know who's girl and boys. So here we have 20 grave and 22 grave in this side, and we have another side of the cemetery here nearby the doors. We have about 6 or 7 children more.
And I see here a grave, somebody called Kenneth Earl Stanley, son of Larry and Ellen of Yakima, Wisconsin. And they seem to have died here in 1957, they died in 1990 something. And they spelled Jerusalem with a G, G-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. And they have two Magen Davids, two Jewish, six-sided Jewish stars on the grave. Do you know anything about these people?
Yeah, he came in Mekaliyah in Israel, and suddenly he gets sick, and he was preparing to go rest in God, and he's as amazing. He's also buried in this cemetery. This cemetery, when you understand this, not only Gentile bury here, but also Jewish people bury here. But this, the Jewish came a little bit later.
And what else do we have of interest? Now, here's a name I can hardly pronounce. O-U-N-A-P-U-U. He was born in 1911, and the language is not English.
It's Slovenian.
Slovenian.
Yes, the people, I still don't know the story about them. But I know the very good story about the lady next to him. It's Bluma Bloom. She was a wife of Jacob Bloom. And Jacob Bloom, he was a student of Rabbi Cook. And Jacob Bloom, the husband of Bluma Bloom, he went to Holland to study in the biblical school, and he came to be a priest, and he came to the land of Israel, and he opened a home group in Rosh Pina, and Jacob Bloom died in 1966. So both of them, husband and his wife, are buried in this cemetery. Family Bloom, his wife is here, and his husband also here, both of them here in the cemetery.
And on the other side, we have a language that doesn't look familiar at all.
Yes, and I still look in what is behind this grave. For me, it's still mystery.
Maybe we'll put a picture up, and if somebody recognizes, they can let us know what language it is and even what it says. And here is another one that I was very struck with when I first came in here. It appears to be in Japanese or Chinese. I can't tell the difference.
It's a Chinese.
Okay.
He was a special, he have a professional, he was a Chinese man. He was a professional to teach O Tai Chi. And he was a very nice man. He grabbed a lot of Jewish people, and he was teaching O Tai Chi in the town, his name Rehovot, And many, many Israeli run running after this teaching, because Tai Chi, it's a unique kind of a sport when you control your body. When you get up in the morning, you go out and you try to control your body, and it's very healthy. And suddenly something's happened to him, and he began to believe the Bible, and he came very deep in the Bible, and he began to read the Bible, and he committed himself to God, and he began to go to a regular church in the area where he is, and he committed himself to God, and he also believe Yeshua is the Messiah, and is amazing. He's also buried in this cemetery, unique cemetery.
Mr. Liu is his name, L-I-U, and he was buried here in the year 2003. It says here, walking with God. I guess that says in Chinese.
Yes,
too.
Walking with God is also in Chinese, but there's a lots of story about them more, and I'm still also looking for to know more about them.
Maybe some of the Tai Chi students will contact us. Now, here we have graves that are not marked, that are just plots without any stones. How does
that
happen?
Well, sometimes we have some people not like the cemetery, and some people not care. It's coming inside and stealing the stones and doing violence in the cemetery. So when I'm here in 2004, when I begin my mission here to take care of the cemetery, nothing would happen. Because before, it's all the time, it was empty and nobody coming. It was totally closed and nobody take care. And it's draw problem.
Problems came because there was nobody here. Now, you wanted us to see this particular grave. Let's walk over here. This is Derek Prince, also died in 2003.
Yes, and this is my teacher. He was my teacher, Derek Prince. Derek Prince, he make big move in the church. He was also a healer person. He was a teach the church to focus on God and go in a good direction and to support Israel. So many, many church all around the world, when he was not support Israel, God used him to show the churches, to convince them to there is God, there is Yeshua, and definitely bunch, thousand of people. When he know Derek Prince, he know God of Israel, and he also know Israel, and he come into Israel with a group to visit and to support Israel in an amazing way.
Wonderful.
And what I want to say, personally, I was work for him. I was a maintenance in his house, and now I take care.
Now you take care of him also.
Yes.
Very good. And here we have some of the stones have writing in Hebrew on them. This is someone called Hermano.
Yes, Hermano Group. Garbi. Hermano Garbi was one of the head of the Adventist Church in Jerusalem.
Adventist, the Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes. And he also, he was an open congregation in Jerusalem. And when he's buried, he's written in the grave, "See you soon." Yes. And there is a verse from Revelation, "I'm the resurrection and the life," from John 11:25. And it's very nice when you walk around the cemetery, and then you see the ice. See you soon. So it's really, you put smile, it put kind of a smile in the mouth of us, and we smile a little bit.
I see that there's fresh flowers here. You've been watered. And most of the graves here seem to be old enough to where whoever their friends were are no longer here either.
Of Armeno. Armeno, his wife coming every day. Every day she's coming, and she take care of the grave.
Dedication. Now here's somebody named Nisim. Now Nisim is traditionally a Hebrew name, and often a Hebrew name of the Jews of North Africa, the Jews of the Arab world. Do you know the story of his name is Yoel?
Yes, Yoel. You'll be surprised how many friends I have here, and why I'm here. It's everything I see. It's definitely from God. I see it's direction from God for me. Yoel Nisim. He was a messianic Jew, but he was a professional, and he was a mechanic man. And he have a garage in Baptist Village,
near Petah Tikva.
And he was a professional mechanic only for one kind of car, Subaru. And I remember myself, I used to send people to him to fix the car. And all kind of type of car of Subaru, he know how to fix. And a memory, and this time when the Subaru came, and it was, you remember the time? In 1979, 1918, 82, this time, it was a lot of stealing in the country. And all the time people buy the Subaru car, and then the next morning it's gone. And so Yoel get a patent, get idea, how to stop the stealing. So he make a special key in the car, a secret key. When the car is somebody stealing the car, the man when he's stealing can drive, and then for no reason the car stop. For no reason the car stop. So he make a special key. And he's only give the secret for the people when he fixing the car. And he really stopped for a while the stealing. But what later on what people do, the stealing, take over the car and put him in the truck. And
on the truck?
Yes, on the truck. And run it to the Gaza or Samaria or whatever.
Next to Nisim is a woman. She, it says here, England, Australia, Israel, 1897 to 1990. And on it, it's written, Women's Rights Advocate. And her name is Beryl Ann Henderson. Do you know anything about her?
She was an active woman. She was definitely women rights active. She was fighting for Democrat. She go without any afraid. She go in the street. She took a microphone and she speaking to the people, and she fight for rights. If it's Africa, if it's in America, if it's Denmark, or in Europe, every country, she fight for rights. And all her life, when she was alive, she's all the time she will say, "Okay, I'm not agree, I'm gonna fight," and she was really fight for all his life. She was really fight for rights.
She came to the right country. It's a country of fighters,
and
isn't it?
She make Jerusalem a base, and she travel to England, Australia, Israel, Africa, Kenya, South Africa, and different places. And then she was make conference, and she fight for rights.
Good for her. Good for her. Now, there was someone else here that I was very taken with the grave, because it was very unusual. And it's so unusual that I can't find it. Ah, here it is. You're right. This is Yasuhiga. It says, beloved husband, father, brother, and son, 1960 to 2002. Artistic photographer from Okinawa. Okinawa is an island that I think still belongs to Japan, the site of a bloody war of battles in World War II. It's somewhere out there in the middle of the Pacific, more towards Japan than America. Now, how did this character from Okinawa, of all the obscure places, get here? Do you know?
Yes. something speak to his heart to come to make Aliyah to Israel. And then he begin to know his girlfriend. She was Israeli. And she begin to know her, and she have a romantic time with her, and then decide to marry, and decide to move to Israel together with his wife today. And he was a professional photo, a photograph, and she also he make a lot of photo, take a photo in Israel. And he put him in a frame, and he's selling the picture, and then in this way he can survive. But suddenly he gets sick. He was very young, and he gets sick and dying. And he's also buried here, and it's written in the grave, Japanese photograph, then he is annoyed with Israel, the love of Yeshua, the love of God never not dying, and forever, amen. It's reading so clearly. He have love for Israel. He was a Japanese, not a Jew. Leave his land, leave his country, leave his culture, and find Israeli lady and come and live in Israel. It's definitely changed so much. And I'm sure he also changes his life, and he's also changed also the life of the people. Many people come here and ask me, where is Higa? Yasuhiga, where is Barry? And then I take the people and show to him.
There are many people who know that he is here?
Yes, some of them come in and ask me, yes. So he knew in the community in Israel, some people know him, but not everybody, but some of them know him. So some of them remember him and come in and ask about him.
Okay. On and on.
Let's go to the big one.
Ah, okay, the big one. Ah, this is. It has that wonderful Hebrew quote. He who saves a single life is as if he had saved the entire world. And this is Reverend John Stanley Growl. Tell us about Mr. Growl, Reverend Growl.
John Stanley Growl, he was a Gentile, but he had a vision. He saw the suffering of the Jewish people when he was suffering in the Holocaust. And he get up in his chairs and he decided, When he saw the Jewish people fighting to get Israel, to get the Holy Land back to the Jewish people, and the wall, it did not help very much to Israel, to the Jewish people to come to Israel. But something happened in his heart. And he decided, I'm coming to Israel, and I want to be a friend with Golda Meir and Ben Gurion. And he went to him and make appointment, and he say, he went to Golda Meir and Ben Gurion and say, he said to him, I want to help Israel. I want to help you to bring the Jew from Holocaust survivor, to bring him from Germany, from bring him from Yugoslavia, to bring him from different places, to make to open the sea like Moses and to bring the Jew back to the land. But Golda Meir, Ben Gurion say we need lots of financing to buy a vehicle, a boat, and different things to using the tool to bring the Jewish people to back to Israel. So he did. He went back. He personally, John Stanley, he was from the States, but he also was a priest. He went back to the States. He was talking, make a lot of conference to support Israel. He gets a lot of, a thousand of financing. I don't know how many. Yes, I no idea how many. He back to Israel and offering all the money to Golda Meir Ben Gurion, to the small the commit in Israel when he was. And the secret what I find up later, he committed himself to working together with the Haganah.
I see there's a symbol of the Haganah in his grave.
And the Sochnut.
The Jewish agency.
Bnei Brit. It was before the Sochnut. It was the beginning of the Sochnut. So, it really give power to Israel. And what Israel did, he take the money and buy boat. Many boat. And one of the boat is Exodus.
I see. It says Exodus 47, which of course is a famous boat. And it has on the sides...
Yes,
and it has the anchor symbol of the ocean.
Yes, and this here it's a real story of Exodus.
He bought the boat?
He bought the boat. He helped Israel to buy the boat.
And did he sail on the boat?
Yes. Yes. And there's a lot of story about them. And it's the verse is it's very unique gravestone. Because it's written,
who saves a single life as if he saved the entire world. And this man
it's
helped.
Very amazing. Because he was a Christian, a Gentile, but he have a Jewish heart. So he have a verse from the Gemara, and next to this, the start of the Jewish, and marked in the stone, and the small cross, and the hanging of the boat.
And the anchors,
and
yeah.
Exodus 47 in English and Exodus in
Hebrew.
And his life. So it's all this, it's a lot of story.
It's an incredible story, this one man. Yeah. Reverend John Stanley. Well, I'm sure some of the old Exodus people remember him. Who else do we have?
Let's go to Andrew Degger.
This is Doris Gray Simpson, beloved daughter and sister. You want to go? Let me just ask you this. There's an image on this gravestone. It says she died here in 1977, and at the bottom it says to die is gain.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an image here of some kind of a bird.
Yes. I still figure up to look into the story of this lady Doris. I did not get information for all of them, but many of them I get a lot of information. So now we can move to Andrew Degger.
Andrew Duger.
Degger.
Degger, born in Nebraska.
Yes.
In 1886, and he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Yes. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. And at the bottom, it looks like the emblem of the Hebrew University.
That's 2 Timothy's.
Ah, that comes from... I'm sorry.
2 Timothy's.
Wrong emblem.
Never mind. It's from the New Testament, 2 Timothy's 4, 7 and 8. Chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8.
And who was Andrew?
Andrew, he was a unique person. He have a small congregation. In his committed congregation in Abu Tur. And in the time of the Turkish, when the Turkish was there, he opened his house, invite Arab and Jewish to his meeting. He was a messianic, but he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And he opened his eyes and invite the Turkish, the British, the Jewish to come to have a small meal and to talking and to sing and to pray together and make together fellowship. And amazing his family. Amazing what he done. And his focus, reconciliation between the Jews and the Arab. Reconciliation between the Arab and the Jew. And he, very loved person, is together with his wife is also here, both of them buried in this cemetery. I know very deep the story of both of them. Still the house has still survived, but the vision is a little bit gone, because the daughter, she's old, and the children of them going back to States and split in different places. But it was a very interesting time in the time when he was alive. Reconciliation between the Arab and the Jews, and the focus in the New Testament, and the focus in the Old Testament.
Now, we've talked about, I don't even know how many of the graves so far, maybe describe 10 of them. How many people are buried here?
It's difficult to count. It's maybe 400.
So we've only begun.
Yes.
So we'll have to come back and talk about some more of these people here. I want to thank you very much for taking us on this tour.
I like to close this interview with another grave.
Please.
If you don't mind.
No, we've got time for one more. Of course, we can well say they're not going anyplace and they'll be here next time too.
You're going to laugh enough.
Okay.
You know, yes?
Now, here's John Shortledge. And he says, we do what we got to do, and then we go. Wow, that really tells us about it.
He was a lawyer, and he write down everything. Daily, he write down everything what he's doing and everything what the family is doing. And he have a office in the States, and he came to the land of Israel. He still was a lawyer. He was a lawyer. And he was very strong in the idea of him. We do what we got to do, and then we go. So, we do the job, we finish the job, and then we go. We not have to continue to be in one place.
I think that's an appropriate sign-off for a tour of a cemetery.
Yes.
So we do what we do, then we got to go, and I got to go, but not as far as these people
and
have.
And me too.
Wonderful. We'll come back and talk some more about some of these people. Thank you again.